I don't have anything to do with anything outside of that. The finished work of the cross is where we desire to live, where we must live. And I give God praise and honor today to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Health and strength and a desire to live holy and righteous while I'm here. I don't deal much with heaven because, see, heaven is already prepared. And it's prepared by the one that made you and me. So I just have to take day by day to keep myself in line. Because heaven is already, it's a prepared place for prepared people. So my job is just to continue to prepare myself for that prepared place that's already prepared, made without hand. Amen? Amen. God is good and we've enjoyed the blessings of the Lord thus far. And so today, I'm going to talk about the blood. The blood. There is power in the blood. When I went over this study of the blood, oh, I tell you, that blood, there are things that we have to meditate on constantly in our spiritual life. I mean, you can't, it's like, what is that insurance company that says, don't leave home without it? Allstate? That's Allstate says that? He said, don't leave home without his insurance. And when you know, when you really understand the power that's in the blood, you know, if you can just understand the power that's in your blood, then you will be able to comprehend and to apply the blood, the power that's in the blood of Jesus. But see, when you don't really know about this natural blood and how we move under that blood, it's kind of difficult to appreciate that blood of Jesus. We know his name is Jesus, right? We know the Holy Ghost power. We know God Almighty. But you know, there's more to it than that. It's more to it than just know that Jesus. You know, we use the phrase, I guess when we get in trouble or how, whenever we use it, we say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. But do we really know what we're saying? Do we know? If you see, he said, remind me of my word. But he says, remind me of my words so that you will know that you know his word. And so it's so important for us to know the word, the concept of the word, to apprehend the word. Like, you know, children go to school and they can read and they can say the ABCs, and the teacher will say, but they have no comprehension. They sing the ABCs and they do all of those things, but when time to come to explain or to understand, they don't get a good grade in comprehension. It is so important to understand what we have and what we're using. We'll talk a little bit. Just talk a little bit. I want you to follow me, you know, closely. And when this is finished, you're going to see that the blood, even of our natural bodies, and the blood of Jesus is a cure-all. It cures everything. With one application, it's a cure-all. The power that's in the blood of Jesus is a cure-all. Everybody say all. Say it cures all. It cures everything. Oh, my God. When I studied this thing, I tell you, I almost didn't want to go to bed. But it is so great. Now, we had our scripture read, and it was taken from Hebrews chapter 9. And it was read from verse 1 through, I believe, 26, right? And we read chapter 10, verses 35, I guess, or 15, 19, 19 through 25. And I don't particularly care to go all through that again because you got your Bibles in front of you, right? And I just want to, before I go into the spiritual blood, I want to give a little synopsis of our natural blood. But if you go back to the beginning, the natural blood that we have was placed in us by the same one that gave us our spiritual blood. Started from way back there. From Adam and Eve, when they came to understand or to comprehend who they were, they had blood. So where did they get it from? They got it from the maker of blood. Oh, bless us today, Holy Ghost. Let's talk about the blood. Blood is truly the breath of life of the living body. No blood, no life. Bad blood, sick bodies. The natural blood that Christ or God gave us in the garden through Adam and Eve, because we are all the sons and daughters of two people, it says it takes, this is what blood does in the natural body. I want you to listen and follow me. And I know when I finish reading this information on our blood, you'll have the divine understanding of the spiritual blood that we have. Blood is truly the breath of life for the living body. It takes up oxygen from air breathed in by the lungs and gathers all the nutrients, the nutritious products of the food consumed. These it distributes to all the body cells through the network smallest blood vessels, the arteries, the compulsories, while carrying nutrients through the capillaries for the tissues. The blood also collects waste products and oxidation products from cells while flowing back through the capillary veins. Talking about blood, the blood in your body, that natural blood that we don't pay no attention to. It does all the work to keep you alive. The blood regulates the chemical balance, acid-base balance, and the blood and the body temperature. And it defends the body against infections by means of its white blood cells and antibodies. Keep that word in mind, defends against infections. Keep that thought in your mind. The blood volume amount is about 6 quarts, which is about 1/20 of the body's weight. Contains about 5 million red blood cells and about 8,000 white blood cells, which is a cubic millimeter. Per cubic millimeter, 5 million blood cells running through your body. 5 million red blood cells, 8,000 white blood cells is running through this little body that runs up and down, back and forth, all around with. Listen to this. In an unborn child, the lungs are collapsed and do not begin to function until the child is born. That is why sometimes a baby is slapped at birth to make him breathe. So while that child is in the womb, not breathing, on his own, God has set that little embryo in the body to depend on the mother. That child depend on you, mothers, because God closes its lungs. And through the circulatory system of your breathing, your child lives. But from the offset, the heart and forming blood vessels are developing. Blood and blood vessels are produced by the same embryonic cells formation called blood island, which receives its oxygen and nutrients from the mother. And also disposes of its oxidation products in the mother's blood. The two systems communicates in the structure of the placenta through the navel and umbilical cord. Keep this word in your mind, mother's blood. As soon as the infant is born and the connection severed at the navel, the child begins to use its own lungs. Keep that word in mind, severed. Getting oxygen from the air and food as received. As soon as the newborn reroutes its circulation to conform to his new mode of life, the blood vessels leading from the navel become shriveled and in time drops off. Keep that word in mind, shrivels and drop off. It's not needed anymore because he got a new source of life. The extra opening between the upper chamber of the heart closes up and disappears. If this opening failed to close, a blue baby is the result, meaning that the baby do not have inadequate oxygen in the blood. Right, sister? Help us, Holy Ghost. I told the Lord, just don't give me too much. Just let me put it in a capsule. Because, you know, doctors take all kinds of things and they enclose it in a capsule and they give it to you to take. And they say, this one little capsule will take care of this and this and this and this, right? So I asked the Lord if you would put this in a capsule for me. And don't let me put out too much, because if you put too much, you forget what was in the beginning. Hallelujah. But in this is just a little synopsis. It's a great big study of the blood. And you should study the blood of yourself, and then you'll know about the blood of Jesus. You know how powerful the blood of Jesus is, and forevermore be. The song said it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. Oh, hallelujah. And in this little synopsis, I'm sure you picked up on how the beginning, how the little embryo in the mother's womb is so dependent on the mother. The blood of the mother flows through that chamber that God so precisely placed, and it can't go in no other direction because he precisely placed that little channel from the navel, from the mother, that the blood run through, feed the baby, make sure that that baby gets everything it need before coming into this world. What a mighty God. What an awesome God. What a God that we can trust, hope, and believe, and don't worry about nothing. That little baby in that womb is not worried about even breathing. Because you know what? The mother's breathing. Because the mother has a circulatory system that feeds it. So it's so important for the mother to know what she's eating, what she's drinking, how she's living, how she's moving, how she's acting, even what she's speaking. It said in this little portion up here, it says, the blood in our body defends the blood against infections. That's what the white blood cell does. It takes care of all of your situation that come into the body. The white blood cells listen to the voice of the Lord, and the Lord says, they got a little moon, and they just take off, and they all gather there, and they begin to fight against what's going on. Ooh, Holy Ghost. You just fight against what's going on in that body. Those white blood cells, they just get together. They don't knock against one together. They know they are white blood cells. They're not trying to be red blood cells. They know what their job is. And it works in your body. That blood works in your body to its perfection if we follow the laws of health. Only about 6 quarts of blood that run through those, with those 5 million other little blood cells that runs through the body. It only equals to 6 quarts. But the power that's in that 6 quarts of blood in your body will take care of the biggest of the size of a man. My. What a God. Do you get what I'm talking about? This blood, this great blood, this is the natural blood. This is the natural blood that the doctors can go in and see some things and say, oh, this is this and this is that. And they say, I can give you this for your blood, and I can give you that. You need to put this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. The doctors can see that blood, but they cannot see the power that's in the blood of the Lamb that was transferred. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals was so powerful when God calls for it. The blood of animals was so powerful that it cleansed men and sanctified their bodies for God's use. The blood of bulls, or lambs and goats and birds, the Arabs in the days of old, if someone would destroy a family member, what they would do to get satisfaction, if the money that is paid to them is not enough, they will call for the blood of one of those members of the family of the person that destroyed their family. Their blood had to be given. It was blood that paid and gave them satisfaction for the death of their person. That's how powerful blood is. So I say, if the blood of animals was so powerful, he said, get a lamb of so many months, get a clean this and a clean that. In the days of old, they would get the animals and they would take the birds and they would squeeze the blood over the altar. My God, my God, my God. They would take the bird and they would squeeze the blood over the altar on the four corners of the altar. It had to be covered with blood in order for the sacrifices to be received. That's why Cain and Abel had such a problem. Abel, was it Abel? He brought a living sacrifice, right? He brought a sacrifice that had some blood. Cain brought a dead sacrifice. And God don't deal in dead things. He said, except it have some blood, you don't get no remission of sin. So I'm going to say again, I want you to get this really serious today. If the blood of animals was so powerful to cleanse the body of a human being, animals' blood, that have no place to go when they leave this world, if their blood is so powerful that it was able to be used in the service of the Lord for the cleansing of mankind, the priest himself could not go into the holiest of God without carrying some blood. And those bloods came from animals. But he had to, you see what happened? He had to carry it there to the throne. First, he had to pray for himself. He had to make sure that he was right, that he applied the blood to his own heart before that he would be able to offer up the sacrifice for the people. Oh, my God. How many times we try to fix somebody else and we ain't fixed ourselves? How often we do that? But you got to make sure that you're right in order to know that somebody else is wrong. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. In the 14th verse of the same chapter 9 in Hebrew, he said, in the 13th verse, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it. Say sanctify. Say sanctify. Sanctify. You see, blood sanctifies people. That's why they don't want to be sanctified. Because it cut out and it cleaned everything and there's not nothing there no more. So people don't like to be sanctified. They save and the Holy Ghost fill. What happened to the cleansing? What happened to the blood sacrifice? What happened to the blood that was supposed to be applied to your heart so you won't have no more need or desire or want to do anything wrong? That takes blood. That takes pure blood. It takes a blood that was clean. The Lamb of God blood was the only blood that can sanctify a person. Do you know that your sanctification must be sanctified? I think I'm going to say that again. Your sanctification must be sanctified. It means that you sanctify yourself. You go before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. And don't do it. That's your sanctification. He said you sanctify yourself. Then you become sanctified. He will then sanctify you wholly. He said the sprinkling, the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. See, it didn't touch the heart. It only stayed on the outside. Because as soon as the priest came out of the holies of holiness, went back to his duty, the people went back to their sins. It couldn't keep them. Sister Arlene, it couldn't keep them. But it had to be done. This is what he set to be done. That you must give me some life. And that's why we said blood is truly the breath of life of the living soul, of the living body. Then it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. See, their conscience wasn't clean because they weren't sanctified within. So their conscience remained. You know, some people get, they say they're saved and love the Lord, and all of a sudden they're doing the things they used to do still. You see, because it's still in the conscience. Once you get the conscience clean, says the bird, once you get the conscience sanctified, you don't have that desire no more. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to struggle. Oh, I'm trying. Hey, if you're trying, you're never going to get it. You don't have to try anymore. It's a way of life. Sanctification gives you a way of life. Jesus wouldn't go through all that if you gonna still be running around acting like a fool after you get saved. What was the need of you losing and wasting his blood if you was not gonna change? It said, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross after his death severed us from all sins. The blood that Jesus shed on that cross, just like when that child is born and that doctor or that husband or boyfriend or whoever is there with that scissors, that child cannot live out of the womb still connected to the mother. She can't live like that. It has to be severed. And when that thing is severed, when the blood of Jesus severed us from all sins, and the circulation through our heart cleansed our heart, it cleansed our soul, it cleansed our mind, our spirit, it carried out all unrighteous thoughts, conforming us into his likeness. You see? Am I talking? But Jones always get at me. That's all right, but Jones. Hallelujah. That blood, Brother John. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he was born, you see, I don't like to repeat those words again, it's a habit, you see. The blood, when he took the blood on the cross, but before he took the blood on the cross, he walked up and down this earth, and he gathered every sin, every sickness, every disease, everything that was not like his father. He gathered it all up, Sister Mackie, and he took it in his blood. See, that's why his DNA couldn't come from a man. You see, when a person want to know if that child belonged to you, men, they do a DNA of the man, not the woman. Because you see, when the sperm was in the man, the DNA from the man, we are just the receivers. They are the givers. So the DNA comes from them. And the health comes from us. The blood feeds the sperm that came from the father. So these young people running all around don't know who their fathers are. They get on that crazy show, and the man say, I want to know if that's my baby daddy. So they got to test the DNA of the man. Because that's where God put the DNA. That's why Mary couldn't have no man to bring Jesus. The DNA had to come from God Almighty. Hallelujah. It was pure. It was clean. It was holy. It didn't have no spot, no wrinkle. So he couldn't use no man's DNA. He had to use the one who made the DNA. He had to use his own DNA. No defects. Something that was so powerful. It can cleanse a man's heart. It can pick him up, turn him around, change his life. Ain't no man DNA can do that. That DNA goes into that sperm goes in that lady. She received that, and a little something began to grow, a little something. Oh my God. The blood. My brother, he captured all that blood. He took every sin. He walked through this earth 33 years. Even in the womb, he was using his DNA. He jumped in on Elizabeth. Sanctified John. Because he could do it. Because there was power in the blood. Hallelujah. There is power, saving me. There is power. There is power. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Hey! Glory to God. So there was no question, my brother, who Jesus' father was. Because his walk and his talk, his life was a different life. That's why when he went on that cross, having all that blood, he didn't die. He didn't die from them killing him. He died of a broken heart because he stood before his father full of sin, and his father couldn't stand to look on sin. So he died from a broken heart. Hallelujah. For you and for me. His heart was broken. And that's why they couldn't break his leg. But they pierced his flesh. And they say out of his flesh came forth blood and water. For the cleansing of mankind. For the purifying of mankind. For the changing of your life. See, there was something different. It was different about his crucifixion. When a person to the study, it says that the blood congeals, right? That's the right word. The blood clogs. Yeah, the blood clogs. When you die, your blood clogs. And it says then that when the blood moves, it turns the water of your body to a light pinkish color. But what they said about Jesus was different. When they pierced him in the hot side, clear water came out. Clear blood came out. Because blood for one thing, water for another, and they didn't have no confusion. Hallelujah. They know that the blood would cleanse out every sin, and the water wash it away. The water would sever it. That is not there anymore. It's gone. Hallelujah. We can walk and talk in the way of holiness. We can look right. We can act right. Because we've been severed from this world and it's good. The world and its action. We are like in the likeness of the Holy Child Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That circulatory system of the blood of Christ carries out everything. And it conforms us into his likeness, causing us to walk upright, closing out. It's saying that, baby, after you sever that umbilical cord, the chambers inside, they got to close up. If it don't close up, there's a problem. If that don't go away and disappear, so that child could begin to move on his own, begin to breathe on his own, begin to receive food, he gets infections take over. Hallelujah. But thanks be unto God that when he severs our sins, he takes out all the infection. Shut it out. You have no more problems with serving sin. Hallelujah. Even the soldiers, after they saw that, out of his blood coming, out of his side coming blood and water, that soldier couldn't take it anymore. He's like, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. Can people say, truly, this is a man or woman of God? Because of the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you operate, where you don't have no more problems with sin, you live like he say. Can they say truly? Are they saying truly about you that you're a child of God? Huh? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said down in the 19th verse, it says, that same 6th, 9th chapter says, for when Moses had spoken every precepts to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wood and hyssop is a bitter thing. Wash it all out. People say you got a problem, you got a cold, get some Saracen. Get some aloes. You need some bitters to wash out the inflammation and the infection in your body. Say, take some bitters. So they took some bitters, mix it up with the blood. Hallelujah. With scallop and wool and hyssop. And sprinkle both the book. That was the word of the law. Even though it was from God, it had to be covered with some blood. The book and all the people saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto us. And it says, moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no cleansing. There is no deliverance. And everything about us must be covered in the blood. We say we plead the blood, but we better know what we're saying. When you say, let me read it from a paper so I don't miss nothing. Hallelujah. In John 6 and 53. Let's go to John 6 and 53. Oh, St. John. Hallelujah. I love you, Holy Ghost. Oh, God is so good. I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the real blood. Because, see, our blood got all kind of stuff in it. You see, it says in my study about the blood, we're going to be reading the 53rd verse, I believe, in St. John. But it says in our bodies, people, doctors, gives you, when they diagnose you with high blood pressure, they gives you medicine. It said in my studies, and this from way back in 1959, 60, and all around those eras, They say they give you medication for blood pressure. But they say that's the wrong thing to ever do, to give somebody blood pressure medicine. Because the blood pressure is not the problem. The blood pressure is not the problem. The blood pressure is just telling you that you have a problem somewhere in your body. It's not the blood pressure. So when they're treating the blood pressure, that's just defeating the purpose, because they're not getting what causing the blood pressure. They won't find the root cause of what's causing blood pressure. They only give you blood pressure pills. And they said down the line, those same pills is going to destroy other parts of your body where the infection really is. But, and I'll just leave the but. But Jesus' blood, it don't cover up nothing. It goes down to the root cause. The root cause that's causing you to do what and act like you act and say what you say. He don't try to just cover over. He goes to the root cause, and his blood roots out that Adamic nature, that nature that caused Adam and Eve to disobey God. That's what is still in the body. So through his blood, he goes down to the root of it and he pulls that out. Now when he pulls that out, it leaves an empty spot. And that's why the scriptures say, and when the enemy goes out of a man, and he runs up and down, because the enemy needs a body, he got to have something to use. He'll use your frying pan. He don't care. Long as he can get to you, he'll use anything. That's what he do. So when the enemy goes out of a man, the Bible says, he roams about and he goes all over the place, because you begin to try to live like the Lord say lives, but you don't get into the word. Talk about that in a few seconds and I'm going to be done. He said that enemy who's been watching you, even though he's not in you, he's going around every now and then, he come back and peep. And he run around a little bit longer and he come back and peep and see you still in the same way. Your house clean. Your house clean, but it ain't filled with nothing. You know, an empty house is a good place to put a whole lot of stuff. When your house is empty, you bring all kind of stuff in there. You got room and space. So when he comes back and look at your house, and it's all clean but empty, he hurriedly, Brother Fontaine, he runs back and he calls his friends, his other demons. He say, I found a house that is clean, a house that they love the Lord, and you ask them, they say they're a Christian, but nothing is in the house like Christ. So he goes and get 7 more spirits. Worse than himself. And he comes back in that house and he takes up residency. And the Bible say your last state is worse than your first state. But you see, when that real blood, when he takes out that Adamic nature out of your house, he fills the house with the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he takes up residency, because the blood, when I see blood, I will pass over you. When the enemy see that you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's nothing he can do with you. But the blood has given you the seal of faith. Throw darts. But God has given you the sword of the Spirit. He will throw darts. But inside the blood is so powerful. Hallelujah. You will be able to say, no weapons formed against me can prosper. And every hard thing that come in my way through the blood of Jesus, I pull it down and I put it under my feet. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood. Power in your blood if you keep it right. You see, to be healthy, you must have good blood. If you keep the blood healthy, if you keep a good diet. Now, we're living in a day that man is telling you, don't eat nothing. Just go around and fast all the days of your life. And take my pills. Don't eat no food, just take my pills. That's where we live. They don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't eat, no eat. But see, they're in the background eating it. You got to understand, they're in the back room. Their lunch is good lunch. They got a full player's lunch back there. And they're having a good time on good food. That's why they can stay healthy to give you the pills, because they ain't taking them. Listen, don't eat that. But the Holy Ghost told me through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said all things is good for food. Everything is good for food if you sanctify it. If you're covered with the blood, you can eat with balance and with discipline. You see what happens? People not disciplined. They haven't let the blood discipline them. The blood will discipline you. Because the Holy Ghost will tell you, you don't need that today. You had that already. Leave it. But who's listening? Because we got the quick fix. We got the quick fix. I eat it and I take a pill. But the blood don't do that kind of work. The blood serves everything and give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It gives you faith, patience, and endurance. It makes you wise unto salvation. It makes you walk upright. Because the first person you should go to is God. In John 6 and 53, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, this verily mean truly, truly. He said, I'm telling you the truth. And he said it. Truly. I'm said unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. So you see, we have a lot of walking dead. Walking dead. People walking and talking and everything, but they're dead. Because they don't have the blood of Jesus. It said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live. Okay, we will read that and say, well, I wonder what that means. Because you know, when he read that to the people in the olden days, they say, this man is crazy. They say, who can eat this man? And about 73 of them walked off, right? They walk off and left and say, this man don't have good sense. But they was eat. They took the natural bread and they took the natural water and they ate it. But when he said, now it's time to eat me. It's time to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, nobody can't eat this man. And he walked off and left him. But you got to know what you're talking about when you tell people to eat the flesh and drink the blood. We're not cannibals. But we better eat his flesh and we better drink his blood. It said, for the flesh and the blood, it is called life. Christ and him crucified, and the redemption wrought out by him, the promise of the covenant and eternal life. Life was purchased by the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood means believing in Christ. Believe every word that he speaks. Have an appetite to Christ. The scripture in Matthew 6 says, he that hungered and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Having an appetite to Christ, hungering and thirsting, eat him through the word. That's what it means to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. You get that through the word. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. It means that you delight yourself in him. It means that you draw from him and depend on him totally for support, comfort, and spiritual life. The strength, the growth, and the vigor of the new man when the blood is applied to your heart. That's when you eat his flesh and drink his blood. We have the Lord's Supper on this tonight, I believe. Tonight? Okay, we have a representation. He said, this is my body, which is the bread that was broken for you. And as often as you do it, you show forth my death and suffering till you come. And this is my blood that was shed for you. And all of these good things. And we got to understand when we taking that again in the representation, and we take it with a heart full of thirsting for the Lord, we could be healed of any disease you have in your body. Just by taking that Lord's Supper, that blood and that bread, that representation of his body and his spirit, you could be healed at the Lord's table. But you see, we don't think about that. We don't consider over that. That we are taking a representation of his blood and the bread. Oh, hallelujah. Just like the infant in the mother's womb depend wholly on that mother, the blood, the strength from her circulation, we must do the same. One thing about, they said, unless we have no life. One thing about this thing, when the baby comes out, the baby gets on his own. And they begin to breathe and move, eat and drink and grow up. You know that, you see that little baby? That baby have no sense of refusing nothing. It don't refuse anything that mother gives it. So it could poison that baby in a heart because it's going to open his mouth for whatever's coming there. But the baby will get on his own after a while. But you see, one thing in Christ Jesus, you never get on your own. You never go out of being a child to Christ. And being a person that's depending on him, calling on him, looking to him, and that will denotes that you're eating his flesh and you're drinking his blood, because it's all that you want. Day and night you are looking in the word. Day and night you are applying the word. All the time you're seeking out his word. But the thing about it, I can say and I believe this book right here, many Christians don't know half of what's in here. They don't know what's in here. John 3:16 is good, and the 23rd Psalms is wonderful. But sometimes you go into a deep battle. Sometimes you go in a fierce battle. And you know you need to know how to talk to the enemy from this word. You have to be so full of this bread and so filled with this blood that when the enemy come in, When the enemy comes in like a flood, you're so full of the word of God, knowing that there's power in this food that you have been eating. You've been eating this food day and night, and so you're not going to back up. You're not going to give in. You're not going to run. You're going to stand up like Jesus stood up. You see, the devil didn't go after Jesus as God. He went after Jesus as man. He went after the man of Jesus. He couldn't do nothing with the God in Jesus. So he went after the man Jesus. And he said a whole bunch of stupidness. Like he talked to us all the time. You ain't God. You can't do. You do. He tell you all kind of things. And we, instead of we stand up like the word, we go to crying. This book says, Jesus said to that enemy, "It is written." He didn't change his language. He didn't rail and make no noise. He continued to say, "It is written." Man don't live by this bread you want me to eat because I'm hungry. But man lives by the word of God. That was the bread that he used on Satan, Brother Nixon. He said, "You don't live by this natural bread. You live by this word of God." And he kept on trying. How many times he keep on trying you? He try you with this, and he try you with that, and he comes with this, and he comes with that, and he don't give up. He don't sleep. He don't get tired. So you shouldn't get tired saying, "It is written." And after a while, by and by, you will get some Holy Ghost strength and you will back up. You throw your shoulders back and you will say, "Enough is enough, Satan. Get out of my way. Get behind me. Hallelujah. Because I'm serving God and you gotta serve him too." When we gonna get to that point? When we gonna get to that point? Not only in the church. Cause he ain't particular about messing with you in the church. But in your house. On your job. He know he got too much warriors in the church. He ain't crazy. He ain't coming too far up in here. But he said, "I'm gonna wait till I get you by yourself. I'm gonna wait till you get on your job. I'm gonna wait till your car break down. I'm gonna wait till you got an ache and a pain. I'm gonna wait till the doctor say this and that. Then I'm gonna see where the blood is. How much blood do you have? How much power that's in the blood you have? I'm gonna see if you're gonna back up with the word. Rear back and say, enough is enough." You tell your children that. You tell your husband and wife that. You tell everybody that. But you let the devil just kick you and beat you all up. Tell the devil, "Enough is enough. Get off my back. Get off my street. Get out of my house. Get out of my children. Get out of my life. Because there's power in the blood." Tell him, "You ain't making me do this no more. You ain't finna make me act like this no more. You're not gonna make me talk like this no more. I'm not gonna let you be in my mind no more. I'm not gonna let you be in my spirit no more. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Not this time. Not this time. Not this time. Because of the blood that was shed on yonder's cross, it was not in vain. It was for everything that's ailing you right now. The reason why you're still ailing, because you don't got enough of the word. You haven't eaten enough of it. You know when you get a good piece of something, or when you find a good restaurant, they say, "You're going out? Where you going? Oh yeah, I'm going to Red Lobster. Oh yeah, I love Red Lobster. Because you know what Red Lobster sell? You done tasted it. You done proved it. So you like going to Red Lobster. So you don't mind people taking the Red Lobster. When you get enough of this in you, you're going to keep on going back to it. You're going to go back over and over and over and over again. You ain't going to never stop going back to it. You're going to take it and you're going to apply it to your soul, to your body, to your mind. If you got to take it and wrap up in the bed with it, you're going to say, you ain't getting away from me. I'm going to get all I can. Because the devil is on your track. The Bible said the enemy is like a raving lion. He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking you. And he's seeking me. But the word of God stands. The word of God stands. Hallelujah. Say there's power in the blood. Say I got that power, got that power, got that power. Say I got that power, got that power, got that power. Say, I got that power, I got that power, I got that power. Say, I got that power, I got that power, I got that power. Give me that old time power, the power that's in the blood. I got that power, I got that power, I got that power.